Over the last number of weeks, we have studied together from God's Word through a series of messages that we entitled, It's About Time. And we've been looking and considering the number of blessings that God has given to us through the Sabbath. Now, far more than being just an order to stop work on a certain day, we have found that actually it's a powerful tool that God is using to reach in and touch every aspect of our hearts and lives in blessing. Now, many people are quick to discern in our world today the benefits of a day of rest, a day of worship, a day with family and with friends. But there's one additional aspect that I want us to focus on in our consideration of this topic. It's about time. That additional aspect, while really should hardly be missed, is probably sometimes not highlighted prominently and therefore becomes a blessing that often is times is overlooked. Though really it at many points in our experience is right before our face and at times missed. The fifth and final point in our series of studies together is that the Sabbath is a time for relationship. A relationship between you and God. Now, each time the Sabbath comes along, week by week, it brings with it a message. And that message tells us that that Sabbath message tells us how important we are to the Heavenly Father. It tells us that God loves us with a love that will not die or ever fade away. It tells us that He longs to spend time with us and in a special way to do so on the Sabbath every week. You recall the passage from Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 where God's word says, "Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Some years ago, there was a famous Hollywood actor. We'll leave the person unnamed at this point because it doesn't matter who really it is, but I want to use the story as an illustration for us. There was an actor who was a far distance from home. He was right across the United States from coast to coast on the day that his daughter turned 11 years old. Now, he called her long distance and apologized to her that he couldn't be there due to his work schedule. He indicated that a package would be delivered to her soon, and he wished her a happy birthday. As he hung up the phone, he immediately called a taxi and hopped in that taxi and went straight to the airport and flew from where he was in New York City over to his home city of Los Angeles. Now, later that day, as the father had said to his young daughter, a delivery man did knock on the door and delivered a 6-foot-high carton on the front step and then left. When the 11-year-old daughter came and answered the door, she found this giant carton greeting her there on the front step and noticed in big letters on the side of the box that it was for her. And so she began to go right to it, opening that box, tearing every corner and seam that she could get her hands on, ripping the packaging off right there on the front step outdoors. And what a surprise she had when she found that inside of that box was her father. The actor reported that his daughter hugged him for 5 solid minutes as soon as he got out of the box. The man loved his daughter enough to give her the gift of himself. An interesting thought, I think, and most of us are probably very well acquainted with the concept of going out and shopping for that perfect gift. You know, we go down the aisles and up the aisles and from store to store in the malls looking for something that catches the eye or something that has the right glimmer or makes the right sound or is the right shape or the right size so that we can give it as a gift to someone who we hope is going to appreciate it. We all have the experience of taking out the catalog that comes in our mail every so often and flipping through those pages trying to find that special gift. Yet could it be that the greatest gift that can be given is the gift of oneself? That's exactly what God did for us, isn't it? God loves you enough to give you the gift of himself. And each week, he offers you special, uninterrupted time with him. He gives you a 24-hour period of time each week to stop from our work, to stop from our worry, to stop from our striving, in order that we simply may embrace our Father. The Sabbath is a reminder to us that we truly, that we really do matter to God. That truly, that really, we are important to him. At the time of Jesus, when you read through the New Testament, you come to a realization that the Sabbath had become something that God never had intended it to become. You read the scenarios and the stories there of how Jesus interacted with the religious leaders about the subject of the Sabbath. You find that there were rules and regulations, and that there were laws that were set up that God had not ordained, but rather that the people had ordained. The Sabbath had become more of a burden upon the people than less and less of a blessing. And that was completely out of harmony with the plan that God had given. God never desires that his gifts, that his blessings be burdensome upon us, but rather that his gifts and that his blessings would be encouraging and uplifting and relieving to us. The Pharisees of Jesus' day saw the Sabbath as something that needed to be protected from the people. And the people's sinful ways. And therefore, by those rigid set of rules and regulations, they caused the true spirit that was intended for the Sabbath to be lost from that day of rest. But Jesus didn't view the Sabbath the way the Pharisees viewed it. Jesus had a different concept. Jesus understood the way that the Sabbath was supposed to be kept holy. Now, no doubt, Jesus did indeed uplift the Sabbath as something special. Jesus did indeed keep the Sabbath holy in his own life and follow the command of God to do so. But he realized, while he recognized that it wasn't a day for secular business or secular pleasure, it was a day for spiritual enjoyment. It was a day for spiritual growth and development and true rest and true renewal for the people as a gift from God. And he also knew that what the Pharisees were presenting was not what he himself had given. Because Scripture records for us, of course, that he, as the divine Son of God, was the heavenly lawgiver. He knew it wasn't intended to be a legalistic monotony that they had made it, but a day of blessed relationship and blessed communion between God, between men and women and their God. There's a passage in light of the fact of what we just said a moment or two ago, that the Pharisees felt the Sabbath was something so sacred and so holy that it needed to be protected from the people's sinful ways. But yet when Jesus came, according to Mark chapter 2, I'd like you to take a notice of this passage. We probably know it very well, but notice it now in the context that we're sharing today, that the Sabbath is a time for relationship. Mark, the second chapter, and we want to look at verse 27, and we'll include 28 while we're here. Mark chapter 2, looking at verse 27 and 28. God's word says, "And he," that's Jesus, "said to them, the Sabbath was made for," who? "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." The Sabbath, Jesus tells us, was a tool that was created for a purpose. The ultimate purpose of the Sabbath is that it would serve to bless mankind for whom it was given. The Sabbath was made for the benefit of the people. We have seen so many of those blessings over the last number of weeks in our study, and today we're going to add one more to the list. The Sabbath is a blessing to us by the arrangement of heaven because it is a day of relationship. Now, we've learned that God values time more than he values space or things. Time is the first thing that God declared to be holy, and he did that during the very first week of Earth's existence. God declares that consecrated time, the Sabbath time, the seventh day, is designed for you to be able to rest from your labor. It's kind of a cathedral in time. You know, the experience that we're supposed to have as we walk into the house of God for worship, where we're supposed to sense and feel the awe and the reverence for God in this place. The Sabbath should be like that in its full 24 hours, not just the 1 hour that we're in this building. The Sabbath is supposed to be that cathedral in time, set apart for you to meet with God who created you and to interact with him. Now, we've also learned through the medium of the Sabbath, God blesses us in a variety of ways. He gives us gifts to bless us. We have seen how the Sabbath provides that time of physical rest, and this is probably the most focused upon aspect of the Sabbath, at least in the understanding of the general population. That this aspect of physical rest that we need away from the labor and the work of the week. But we add to that, and as we have also studied, that we need spiritual rest. And that spiritual rest is just as needed, if not more needed, in the world today than the physical rest is. Because of the situations that we find ourselves faced with, and because of the sin problem in our world. We lay aside our efforts, our works, our labors to gain the physical rest during the week, but God calls us to use the Sabbath as a reminder, or have it as an opportunity for us to lay aside that spiritual striving, that spiritual working to save ourselves. Because the scripture is so clear. That God's plan of redemption is crystal clear. Salvation is not something that you earn. Salvation is not something that you can work for. And yet how many of us, whether consciously or subconsciously, try to continue to do something that's going to earn the favor of God? Well, the Sabbath comes to us as a day of rest. Lay it aside. Lay down that striving. Lay down that continuum of working to earn the favor of God, because God wants you to know today that your favor with him is not dependent upon what you can do. It's dependent upon what Jesus has done. We've also seen through scripture, of course, considering the aspect of the rest, just to give us the scriptural reminder, where God said in Leviticus 23:3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all of your dwellings. So it's not just the Sabbath and holy time in this place, but it's the Sabbath and holy time in every place. And God says, whether you're in this building today, or you're in your own home, or in some other location, today is the day that I am giving you for the blessing of rest. Jesus said, and we know the spiritual connotation, but what about the physical as well? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We've seen how the Sabbath provides us with the gift of faith and trust in our God, who according to scripture is indeed able to provide all by himself for every need that we have in this life. The Sabbath tells us that we can trust his word, that we can believe his promises, and that we can rest from stress and anxiety and worry in his care. The word of God records in Lamentations 3:22-23, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new how often? They are new every morning. And then the Bible says, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is his faithfulness to us. We have seen how the Sabbath trumpets the message that God's greatest gift for us in the life and death of Jesus Christ. Salvation and recreation are major cornerstones to the foundation of Sabbath blessings. We see God having worked to reconcile us to himself through Jesus Christ. And he continues to work today in the courts of heaven above to continue that reconciliation and to change and transform us from where we are back into the perfect image of God again. God proclaimed in Ezekiel 20:12, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign, God said, Notice that word. He says, my Sabbaths are to be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord, which sanctifies you. We've seen how the Sabbath offers us the gift of order out of chaos in daily living. The same God who's with his words spoke and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast, can indeed speak and cause marvelous blessing to take place in your life and mine today. The same Jesus who in the midst of the storm stood up in the end of the boat and by raising his hand said, peace, be still. And there was an instant calm on the lake, can rise up in your life and stretch forth his hands and can say, peace, be still, and can bring peace and tranquility to your heart and bring order from your chaos and beauty from your ashes. Today he says to you, be still and know that I am God. These gifts are given to you in order to add value to your life. And through all of those, one message rings loud and clear. The Sabbath tells us just how important we are to God. He gives because he loves us, and he wants our very best. He sent his son because he loves us. He wants relationship time with us today because he loves us. And that's why he created the Sabbath for you. He gives you a standing appointment for 24 uninterrupted hours with your Father each and every week. And that appointment on that day, this day, Sabbath, God's gift is the gift of himself to you. Again, in time, relationship time with him. And that's how important you are to God. He loves you and he cares for you with a greater love than you could ever imagine possible. Like the father who longed to spend time with his child, God packs up a gift and sends it to you each week. When you open the wrapping, you find the father waiting inside of the gift called Sabbath, waiting for you. Sometimes people have said, I don't know how God could love me, or God couldn't love a sinner like me, or he doesn't love me because I'm not good enough. One thing that scripture makes clear for us is that we do not ever need to feel unloved by God. Contemporary Christian artist Michael W. Smith shares a song that follows that very point. And I'd like to share it with you, but the things that he shares about are all of the things that we are and all of the things that we have been. But he highlights in this song the one thing that we certainly are not. Here's the first stanza of that song. He says, I have been unfaithful. I have been unworthy. I have been unrighteous. And I have been unmerciful. I have been unreachable. I have been unteachable. I have been unwilling and I have been undesirable. And sometimes I have been unwise. I've been undone by what I'm unsure of. But because of you and all that you went through, I know that I have never been unloved. Powerful consideration in light of what we are and what type of a love God has for us as he looks down from heaven at sinful, humble me. And recognizes that no matter what condition he sees me in, no matter what condition he finds me in, that love never changes. Despite all the things that might have been, despite all of the things that might be today, the Word of God testifies that we have never been unloved. And each and every week as the Sabbath rolls around, God sends you that reminder of his love and an invitation to enter in and continue in that special relationship time with him, because that's what the Sabbath is all about. It's about time. It's about relationship time between you and your Heavenly Father. And while we are blessed to and privileged to enjoy that the blessing of relationship time with our Father, God added to the blessing that Sabbath brings in the aspect of relationship Our relationship with God is the first priority. It is the greatest blessing, but it is not the only relationship blessing that God provides for us. God provides on the Sabbath the blessing of fellowship and relationship with each other. With each other. In a way that is different from the relationship, the interaction that we possibly could have any other day of the week. The Word of God, in one of the passages that we've already referenced to today, speaks to us about how the Sabbath was intended to be a day of togetherness. Now take your Bibles back to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. We think sometimes that the book of Leviticus, back there in the books of Moses, the third of the book of the Bible, is a book all about the real rules and regulations of how to be a good Jew. Well, that's not everything that's inside of the book of Leviticus. There's some time-tested truths and time-tested principles right here in the book of Leviticus that apply not just to Jews of ancient times, but apply to Christians in this day and age. And here's one of them in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 3. The Bible says, in Leviticus 23, verse 3, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Now, that's the portion we already shared and talked about today. But it goes on and says, not just being a Sabbath of rest, but it is on holy convocation. You shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now, that passage tells us something about the Sabbath that we haven't highlighted in our series of studies before now. The Sabbath is a day of convocation. That's a word we don't use all the time. I think we know what it means. So let me ask you, what does it mean? Convocation. The Hebrew word that's translated there as convocation is the word mikra, and it means a calling together. It means a sacred assembly. The same passage in the New International Version, if you have the NIV or use the NIV of the Bible, it says that the Sabbath is a day of sacred assembly. That's what the translation lists. And I particularly like the way the NLT, or the New Living Translation, shares it in this particular verse. Here's what it says. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of complete rest, an official day for holy assembly. It is the Lord's Sabbath day, and it must be observed wherever you live. Indeed, it is clear that God intended His people to be blessed not only by His coming together with them, but by their coming together with each other. Now, that was third person. Let me rephrase that and make it first person for us. God intended that the blessing of the Sabbath would not be just experienced in our coming together with Him, but in our coming together with each other. There's indeed the blessing of fellowship, the blessing of worship corporately. I am blessed abundantly when I come into the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day and I see, not only see each of you, but I witness you worshiping God. And I witness you learning of Him. And I witness you praising Him. And I witness you praying to Him and trusting upon Him. To hear the voices blending together in His praise is encouraging. It is strengthening for my own life. Sometimes we come so very focused on ourselves. But open the eyes, open the view, and look and see what's happening around us. There's other people who God has saved from the ways of sin in our very presence. Other people who we consider to be brothers and sisters in the faith in our very presence, who in their own way and in their own experience are lifting up holy hands, so to speak, and praising God. That should bless you. It blesses me to see you and to experience worship together with you. I pray that that's the experience you receive as you come into the Lord's house. It's a part of the blessing that God intended to be a part of the Sabbath. The New Testament, though, that's an Old Testament text. The New Testament isn't lacking any counsel for us to come together either. In fact, reading through the entire New Testament, it would be hard for you or me to find many places where the disciples or the believers were alone. Look for them. There's very, very few there. But when we actually find a disciple, or we find an apostle, or we find a Christian believer, they are with somebody else or with a group of others. The New Testament tells us that they came together, they ate together, they prayed together, they worked together, they ministered together, they preached together, they even suffered together. The New Testament picture of the church of God is a togetherness in Jesus Christ. But a togetherness that is not kept to the spiritual realm. It's a togetherness that was to pervade our entire livelihoods and bring us together in every circumstance and in every situation of life. Togetherness and community were the lifeblood of the early church. Take your Bibles to the passage we had read for our scripture focus, our key scripture reading today, the book of Hebrews chapter 10. The book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Notice God's word. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. There's an encouragement for your faith today. Paul the apostle comes to us in this writing and says, listen, what you have professed to believe about Jesus Christ, don't let it go. Hold on to it because it's something that's going to stabilize you. It's something that's going to keep you when the storm blows. It's something that's going to hold you firm when the world starts to fall apart. Hold on to your profession, he says. For he is faithful, that promise. The God who says he's going to be with you will be with you. And Paul says, look at my life. My life is a living testimony of everything that God is able to do in someone's heart. But he goes on and says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, you can't do that alone. You can't provoke. Now, that word provoke, we kind of have that today in a negative context. You know, we think that that's making someone angry. You're provoking me. But provoke simply means to motivate or stimulate. So Paul is saying here, stimulate or motivate one another to do good works. But you can't do that if you're not with one another. You can't encourage one another to live for Jesus if you don't see one another. You can't talk to one another about how to live the Christian life and how to face the temptations and uplift one another through prayer and encourage one another by that knowledge if we don't get together. And Paul recognized that, and so that's why he included the next verse, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The Apostle Paul says we are not to be a people who forsake the assembly of ourselves together. In other words, it is not supposed to be counted or known among us that we don't get together. The early church ate together, worked together, prayed together, ministered together, preached together, walked together, traveled together, journeyed together, suffered together. Should the record be any different for the last day remnant people of God? We should eat together, work together, pray together, preach together, travel together, journey together, help together, and suffer together. Because God calls us to be a community of faith. It's hard to be a community and have intimate and close, meaningful relationship when the only time you see one another is when you look across the aisle during the sermon. And you give that smile, or you give that little wave or that little wink to acknowledge that you saw the presence of somebody else. Relationships will never be developed like that. And if we're going to be a community of faith that is going to impact the world for the name and the glory of Jesus Christ, then we have got to do something about that. We've got to come together. We've got to be together. We're living in the times when some have the practice of attempting to be spiritual lone rangers. They break away from the body of Christ and they venture out on their own, not having any consistent fellowship or any communion with other believers. You know what I'm talking about, right? There's people in our communities today who are not a part of any faith community at all. Now, they will claim to be Christian or claim to be religious or claim to be spiritual, but they're never in the body of Christ with other believers, in the presence of other body of Christ members. It's hard to be a family when you're not together. It's hard to, when I'm down, who's going to pick me up? When I need that pat on the back, or when I need that arm around the shoulder, or I need that someone else to pray with me or to cry with me, or who's going to do that if I'm out on my own? No man is an island, the great English poet once wrote. We're not supposed to exist independently from one another. God made us social creatures and he calls us to come together and be a fellowship of believers. But now let's consider that. That's looking outside of the walls. What about here? What about inside the family of God? Those that profess to be a part of the family. Others will stay away from the Sabbath worship gathering to go and pursue their own pleasures. Some will go to a park or the country or simply stay home, whether it's out in the boat or out in nature, skidooing down the trail or sitting on the open cabin porch. It's a Lone Ranger attitude at times. And it affects even inside the family of God. And then others maintain their membership connection with the church. And by that I mean, you know, on the roll, right? The name is registered there. But yet they skip the midweek or the Sabbath assembly for weeks or months at a time, opting rather to listen to a sermon on television or satellite or radio and think that that fulfills the need. Have mercy. Because that's the only thing that we can get at that point in time. If we come to the point that we think just by tuning in and catching the 30 or 40 or 60 minute sermon, we're fulfilled and our part in the body is complete, friends, we're mistaken. Because that's not how it was meant to be. It's not what God has designed for us. And let me reiterate a point that I believe we heard earlier this morning. We as God's people in these last days, we cannot settle for the status quo. We can't be mediocre Christians any longer. We can't be ones who are content to just do whatever and kind of go with the ebb and the flow of life. No. We gotta be intentional Christians. We've gotta be serious about what we believe, serious about what we profess, and move forward, but we have to move forward together. The Apostle Paul looked down the corridors of time by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he called us in this passage in Hebrews not to be that people. Not to be the people, the lone rangers of the church. Not to be the individuals who are happy to have their membership on the roll but never a part of the family and never active with the family. Not to be one of those who would rather skip the gathering of God's people on the Sabbath, which is by command a convocation, and go and separate and be somewhere else and do something else. God wants us to be together. God wants us to not just fulfill it because it's a command. God recognizes that when we come together, there is blessing to be received. Maybe some of the reasons that we have folks that like to split off or go their own way or not come for a long, long period of time is because somehow in our gatherings or somehow in our times together, we really haven't been together. Maybe sometimes when we're physically in the same room, our minds and our hearts and our desires for one another are everywhere else and not here. The Sabbath comes to us each week and reminds us that indeed God wants the time with us. And I understand the consideration that some might present and they say, well, I really needed today that special one-to-one time with God. I'm not saying that that's wrong. Don't misunderstand me. But the temptation exists, and the enemy is a smart enemy, that the temptation exists that time with God alone, I happen to need it every Sabbath morning at 11. Isn't that strange? When God says to me that this is the holy convocation day, the day that by command and by God's desire, I'm supposed to be with the believers, isn't it interesting that I just have this overwhelming burden every single week at that particular time that I need to be by myself? It's the enemy, friends. It's not God. We have to be clear that we understand that God's will is for us to be together on this time. He gives us 6 other days to do all the work that we have to do. But he also, by the way, we remember that those 6 days are not absent from relationship with God, are they? We're not seventh-day Christians. We're everyday Christians, aren't we? And so in those everyday experiences, there's lots of opportunity to have my private time with God and to rejuvenate with God privately. But when it comes to the seventh day Sabbath, according to God's word, he says, please, please, please don't get caught up in the trap that the enemy will have you become a lone ranger who will not be able to stand. That private time, that solo time is good, but when God says come together with somebody else, he knows what he's talking about because there's a blessing to be gained here today that I can't get anywhere else any other time during this week. So I'm not going to skip this time. I'm not going to separate myself from this time. The Apostle Paul called us through these passages to join together, assemble together, worship together, be together as we see the time for the coming of Christ drawing near. Is it near? We believe that it is. We said that we believe that it is. The signs of God's word seem to tell us that it is. He knew that we would need each other in the family of God. He knew that it is in this gathering, in this assembly of the people, that Jesus would be present with us. You know the text. Jesus says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." There's something special about the two or the three or more that's not there when he says it's just one. So don't miss the blessing where two or three gather as my followers. Of all the great ills that people experience in our time that has caused, one of the great ills, let me put it this way, one of the great ills that we experience in our time is the feeling that many people have of loneliness. Loneliness. And if you have been one who has lost a husband or a wife or a child or a parent at some point in your life when it was just you and that individual, then you recognize that feeling. You know what it is to be lonely because your partner or your lifelong friend or someone that was so meaningful and so close to you is no longer with you. And those surrounded by dozens and hundreds and sometimes thousands of people at their jobs or at school or in their communities, men, women, young people are feeling alone in this world. Now, I'm not talking about the Christian today, but I want to just highlight the aspect that we can identify. But there's many in our world today that are alone. They feel the aloneness. It isn't the lack of faces that they see, but it's the lack of sense and feeling of connectedness. It's the fact that they feel that nobody cares about them specifically and personally and individually. But the Sabbath speaks right to the heart of the loneliness issue. The Sabbath speaks to that because God has designed that the Sabbath be a day of togetherness. Not togetherness in body, where we're all just here in the same room, but real relational togetherness. That's what God wants us to see. It's what God wants us to experience. A togetherness in spirit. A togetherness in community. A togetherness in fellowship. And that takes action on our part. Don't think that it doesn't. It actually goes beyond just taking action. It takes sacrifice on our part to become a community. It takes dedicated, sacrificial effort. If we are the type to just come and worship and leave right away, then we're going to miss out. But if we are truly desirous of the blessing that God has outlined for us, if we are truly wanting to become the people that God says you can become, and that we have the privilege of becoming, then we will be able to reach out with our hands and reach out with our hearts as the people of God and join together with one another. Take those moments, as few or as many as are needed, and develop the spirit of togetherness with the people in your family of faith, those around you this morning. God knows what we need. He's provided for those needs in the regular, recurring blessing of the seventh-day Sabbath each week. It's a time for relationship. It's a time for togetherness. And in the context of the most important type of togetherness, God is waiting for us each and every time that special appointment rolls around. And that special appointment, according to the scriptures, begins each Friday evening. As the sun sets behind the horizon, holy time, blessed time for relationship, blessed time for togetherness has begun. And that special appointment carries on for 24 blessed hours until the sunset on Saturday evening. Let us not be late for the appointment. Let us not miss those first blessed moments together with our Father. Let's not try to leave or get out early and cut him short. Receive the blessings. Bask, if you will, in the very presence of God during that special day. Seek and enjoy the fellowship and the togetherness and the community of God's family. God is about as content for you to miss the appointment or attempt to change the appointment as any of you ladies would be for your husbands to forsake for the sake of convenience or for the sake of wanting to do something else to try to change your birthday or your wedding anniversary other than the day that it really was. Or if instead of spending that time or that day with you on your anniversary or on your birthday, they let you know that they'll catch up with you tomorrow Or they'll catch up with you on another day because today they really want to go hang out with the boys. That'll go over like a lead balloon. No, friends, we can't do that and expect to be happy and blessed. God has designed it so that the Sabbath brings with it special blessings. And those blessings cannot be experienced the same way or to the same degree or at any other day or at any other time. I want you to remember this one point in context of this consideration. It is an appointment not that you have made with God. It is an appointment that God has made with you. And there's a difference. When sunset rolls around on Friday evening, a giant curtain has been delivered upon your doorstep. Your name is on the sticker. Your father has promised that a gift would be arriving. You have the privilege of opening the box and seeing that God, on his blessed day given to you, has given you the gift of himself, his presence, his love, his care, his embrace, and he wants it to be a blessed day of relationship and togetherness for you and him, for us and him. I believe it's about time that we realized that it's about time. It's not a harsh, restrictive rule from a dictator God, but rather it's an invitation to peace and joy and happiness and fellowship. You'll find rest and renewal. Strengthen your faith and your trust. Celebrate salvation and recreation. Find order and peace from chaos, beauty from ashes, and grow in your relationship with him. The Sabbath, it's about time. It's time that we need. It's time that I'm convinced that you and I cannot do without. Time that we cannot afford to pass up, and time that when we are in eternity, we'll be glad that we have valued and spent together here. This Sabbath, and every Sabbath, it's my prayer for you that you may bask in the light of his presence and open your arms to embrace the gifts that he offers to you, including the gift of relationship with himself and the gift of togetherness with his people. Join me today. Join me today in celebrating and praising God for his precious gift of Sabbath time. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence through this prayer, Lord, we recognize today that we at times have missed the boat. We focused, Lord, upon the do's and the don'ts. We focused upon the day of the week. We focused upon things, Lord, which undoubtedly are important, but Father, have led us to miss the true meaning and the true purpose of what you have intended for us on the seventh day Sabbath. Father, today, renew our understanding. Renew our desire to experience God on his day like we have never experienced you before. And I pray, Father, that today, in the remaining hours of this Sabbath, that a blessing would be received unlike any other blessing we have received on a Sabbath before. We love thy Sabbath, Lord. I pray that you would deepen our love for it and you who are the giver of it. That one day when we walk the streets of gold in the eternal kingdom prepared for the saints here on earth, that we will know that we have indeed spent these Sabbath hours meeting and developing our relationship with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for being so willing to provide the blessed gifts to us as you have. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.